Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:10 British Summertime. Today is June 11th. Now, I must apologize for my rather husky tone, but I've got a bit of a head cold. Looking at what's been happening today, we saw that Wall Street was up in excess of 1% for a good part of the day, but gave it up towards the end and closed marginally up on the day. So we continue to see that, for example, the S&P remains in this range which has been in since the beginning of June and remains very consistent. We are starting to see that it is in the region of the moving average, having broken above it at the beginning of the month, but that moving average still has to turn upwards and the market would have to find support above it on any subsequent pullback to suggest to us or to confirm that the market has bottomed and is at the beginning of a new uptrend. We already have some of those conditions in some of the leading markets. China is one for sure because that market has broke above its 200-day moving average quite a while ago, and that moving average has now had time to turn upwards. So we are much further along the lines to confirming the beginning of a new bull market in some of those leading markets than we are with some of the laggards, primarily in the USA and in Europe. This was also an interesting day in the industrial metal complex. Copper had a very powerful day, broke upwards from this consolidation. It was up 7.1 cents today, pushing up towards that psychological 250 area on the COMEX contract, and still remains remarkably consistent. In the previous cycle, we saw that the industrial metals gave up leadership one after the other, or they exchanged leadership would be a better way of explaining it. But on this occasion, we're seeing that all of the industrial metals are moving at the same time. That may be because they were so remarkably oversold following the big drawdown that we saw in the third quarter last year. And we are starting to see that people are looking at the commodity sector as a potential investment vehicle for the medium to longer term. They're starting to look around and think about the types of things they want to own in the après le déluge type of environment. And certainly commodities are coming up trumps, as are emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America. We continue to see that the dollar is pulling back, having rallied rather significantly at the end of last week. It's probably had the, well, to put it another way, other currencies have probably had the easiest part of their run against the dollar, and it's unlikely to be as orderly a decline from here on out as it has been over the last 6 or 7 weeks. But in pretty straight terms, the dollar would really need to sustain a move above last week's highs to question potential for this to continue to range lower, albeit in probably a less consistent manner than we have seen in the last almost 2 months. And that weakness in the dollar is supporting a number of other markets. We continue to see that Asia remains very consistent, and I think as David was talking about last night, the Wall Street leash effect is very much in effect right now. Certainly, other markets took their cue from perhaps China on the be at the beginning of this move, where we saw China leading by a good 6 weeks to 2 months before a number of other markets bottomed. But they're unlikely to take their cue from China as what has been a remarkably consistent move to the upside gives way to a pullback and consolidation of those gains. The majority of investors will continue to watch Wall Street, and Wall Street, boring as it has been, remains remarkably consistent, and the progression of rising lows would really need to be taken out for anyone to be shaken out of long positions on a basis that they're watching Wall Street. So, while this very impressive rally is getting a bit long in the tooth, there is nothing that has happened just yet to suggest that it is over, other than the fact that we are starting to see a little bit of broadening on some of the lagging indices and some acceleration in some of those leading indices. Those are warning shots across the bow to tell us that we are in the latter stages of this impressive advance, but the consistency characteristics that we've been identifying for the last 3 months and counting are still in place, and until they've been taken out, there won't be any clear signal that this advance has topped out, but we are certainly watching for that type of eventuality. The government bond markets were a bit firmer in here today in US Treasuries, and they have been sold really rather aggressively over the last few months. And we're seeing that yields are pushing up towards the 4% level on the 10-year, which is back to where yields were at the beginning of 2008 or the end of 2007. So we are starting to see that that on the one hand, growth is being factored back into the bond markets rather than the apocalyptic or cataclysmic depression that people were forecasting back when the 30-year was trading up above 140. And people are starting to think more about the inflationary prospects of the quantitative easing that's been employed by a large number of economies right around the world. And in past occasions when this type of policy has been implemented, it has, without exception, ended up in some sort of inflationary problem coming through later on. And while inflation isn't going to be a problem at the moment, and we're probably not going to see wage inflation or manufactured goods inflation anytime soon, on the other hand, we are starting to see the seeds being sown for commodity price inflation, and we continue to see that, for example, the energy complex is showing leadership here. Oil is over $72 in here today, and that is also a remarkably consistent advance. We see industrial metals pushing upwards, and not just one industrial metal, but a large number of them. And we see that the commodity complex is garnering interest from right around the world because we're seeing the industrial metals in particular advancing in a large number of different currencies. So that is a strong indication that it is attracting investor interest from a large cross-section of investors on a global basis. We also see that against the dollar, or for the dollar's decline to date, that it has performed best against what could be deemed alternative reserve currencies. So against the euro, for example, there is still potential for the euro to advance against the dollar, but it has had a break of the consistency characteristics in the decline for the dollar. On the other hand, when we look around the world, because currencies are always going to be a two-sided story, we see that the alternative reserve currencies, or the ones that are deemed as potential, such as the euro, or further down the track like the yen or the Swiss franc or the pound, that all of those economies are in pretty deep trouble as well. They've also got banking sectors which are going to be problems for the foreseeable future. And they all need a weak currency to help them get out of this problem. With that in mind, it's probably not against those currencies that we're going to see the bulk of the dollar's decline if it does start to weaken. On the other hand, the economies that have come through this crisis in the best shape are almost unquestionably in Asia or in commodity-producing Latin America or co the developed part of the commodity-producing world, such as the Canadian dollar, Aussie dollar, New Zealand dollar, and the South African rand has also been considerably stronger than many might imagine over the last few months. And it is to those currencies that we can increasingly start to look to see weakness for the US dollar. You have the interest rate differential in place in a large number of these markets, and there is the growth that is unlikely to be. We are unlikely to see growth coming back to trend levels in a number of the OECD economies, particularly those that have been most affected by the credit crisis. On the other hand, emerging markets, where growth remains in place, and we should also, of course, remember that the trade between emerging markets is growing all the time, and they are becoming increasingly less reliant on business derived from the developed world. That we're seeing the greatest potential for currency appreciation in those markets. Those are also the stock markets that have performed best, as investors appear to be coming to that realization in greater numbers. And if foreign investors can invest in the emerging markets with an appreciating currency and appreciating stock market with the best growth prospects in the world and increasingly some of the better governance, then the argument for not investing in one's domestic market is strengthened quite considerably. And if one is investing in one's domestic market, then one should be looking towards those companies that can provide leverage to the big secular themes that are likely to drive markets over the next decade, which are infrastructure development driven by the growth in the great population centers of the world, such as China and India. I think I should also mention the euro pound rate, which came down to 85p today, and it's been the pound has been weaker for 5 or 6 consecutive days here. So there is potential for a little bit of a rally for the euro in the very short term, but it would really now need to. This is a relatively important breakout for the pound, for because it has been raging in this 90p level for a considerable period, and if it could sustain a move below 85p, then there is further room for this thing to appreciate. In the short term, there is potential for the pound to or the euro to firm up somewhat around these levels, but it would need to sustain a move above something between 87 and 88p to really question scope for the pound to break, or for the euro to break down, or the pound to break out at this point. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you. And I think I should thank you for bearing with me with my increasingly nasal tones.